Okay, Jesus was better outside the city. That's what we'll call it. Now, Jonah is quite open with his feelings. He's one of those people. You know where you stand with Jonah because he's going to display it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Can be either, that's what I think. Yeah, that's in my notes. Can be good, can be bad. Yeah. All right, maybe on a Wednesday we'll look at that more. When is it bad, when is it good? But you know where you stand with it, which is good, I guess, isn't it? Yeah. Now, and this note in chapter 4, 4 to 6, he's getting pretty suicidal, basically because he doesn't want to live in the world with saved Ninevites. Or he doesn't want to serve a God whose mercy is evil to Jonah, which was last week's sermon. Remember, he had a problem with God. He found God actually evil. No, that was two sermons ago, I think. Anyway, in 2019, it might look like this. I'm not following Jesus if someone like Adolf Hitler could have a last-minute deathbed conversion. People say that to me all the time. The nerve of God saving someone like that. They simply don't deserve it. Incidentally, throw out some answers. What would you say to that? Quick mind, because I don't actually want to stay here. Nobody deserves it. It wouldn't be mercy if they deserved it. Yeah, that kind of stuff. FYI. Read The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis. There you go. For your information, though, God isn't mocked. And most of those deathbed conversions, I think, are probably sort of just words uttered superstitiously to hedge your bets. And God knows that, doesn't he? Which is why repentance is for today, not to be delayed to your deathbed. There's a lot of ingenuine deathbed conversions, aren't there? You've got to watch that. Anyway, but tonight, I just want to show the ways that Jonah is in a mess and how God is really kind in it. In verses 4 to 6, Jonah's mess, God's kindness. I think, actually, Mrs. Knott, verse 4 shows God's kindness. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Remember now, Jonah thought God was evil for saving Ninevites. I knew you'd do this. I knew that's what you like. And I don't want to serve you now because of what you've done. He's angry. He's angry and thinks God is evil. That's what the Masoretic text says, evil. But what does God do? Does God wipe him off the face of the earth for the nerve? What, no, what does he do? He actually interacts with Jonah, doesn't he? Do you do well to be angry? What does your version say, Marcus, of verse 4?
Do you do well to be angry?
Oh, have you got the same as me? Oh yeah, you haven't got your usual one, have you? Yeah. Do you do well to be angry? Can someone give me another version of that?
Is it right?
Now that... Look, that is an enormous display of kindness, I think, from the living God to a person who's really suicidally enraged with him. Like this morning, Ethan came up to me after the sermon and I said, Ethan, start talking to me. And he started talking to me. And then I turned my back on Ethan while he was talking to me. And he was going, oh, why have you turned your back? And I said, because you sat with your back to me all the way through the sermon. So carry on talking to me, and you tell me how it feels. So he carried on talking, oh, what are you doing? And I was saying, Ethan, well, my back's turned. I'm not interested in what you say. How do you feel? Now. Yeah, he got it.
He might forget by next week.
Yeah. Apparently, it wasn't his fault that he sat with his back to me. Anyway, but here, God's back should be turned to Jonah, really, and to the Ninevites, but it's not, is it? He's still in an act of kindness and patience, says, do you do well to be angry? Which is probably why God is, one of the many reasons why God is supremely better than me, who turned his back on Ethan. But, can I say this? I venture to say, God hasn't turned his back on Ogmore Vale yet, because there are churches still open and Christians still there. I think we might be able to say that. And in Ogmore Vale, there are not many people that see in Jesus what the Father sees in Jesus. They don't want the company of Jesus. And that grieves the Father. But here we are. There's still churches in Ogmore Vale. God hasn't turned his back on this place yet, like people have turned their back on Jesus. And that is an act of kindness, which we see in verse 4 here. He interacts with sinners. He's patient and kind. Now we're getting more to the point as we approach verse 5. I'll just read it again. And then Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself. So we're looking at ways he's in a mess. The first part there was just gearing up towards this bit. Here's a question. Jonah's anger is evidence that he's in a mess. Okay? Jonah's anger is evidence that he's in a mess. But here's my question. Is being angry wrong? Or evidence that we're in a spiritual mess? Jimmy shakes his head. Go on in.
It could be righteous anger.
And what is righteous anger?
Righteous anger would be the kind of anger that the Lord...
Okay, so is being angry wrong? Maybe not. Because, did Jesus ever sin?
No.
No. And did Jesus get angry?
Yes.
Yeah. So is it possible for there to be an anger which isn't sinful? Or selfish, in the wrong sense? Ah, right. Thank you. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. And then it goes on to say, doesn't it? Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. So being angry is an evidence you're in a mess, but it can cross a line where it becomes sinful and it spills out like acid, doesn't it? And harms, and when we nurse things, which I think is why it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't harbour that. And here, with Jonah, I think it's the sinful type of anger, for a few reasons. He's firing it at someone who doesn't deserve it. Yes, Jesus didn't do that. And here's the line when he pretty much says, it's better to die than to serve you. Take my life. I would say that crosses a line. When you are that angry with God that you do not want to serve him, that's evidence of his mess. And if you turn from light and you don't want to serve light, where else is there to go but dark? And that's where Jonah's headed. I nearly called him Jensen then, in this chapter. But there's something else in that anger, just to solidify my case that he's wrong here, Jonah. Pay attention to verse 5. There's something else in that bit that I read which indicates that he's in the sinful category of anger. What is it? 4 and the first part of 5. I get to the east and the sunrise in a bit, but that's not what I want yet.
Could he make himself a booth?
No. On his own? Sort of getting closer. No, he does something before that. Before the city stuff.
Are you sure he's got the right
verse? Yes. Right, okay. Lynette, let me demonstrate this. Lynette, ask me a question. Just pick a question and ask it to me. For the benefit of the recording, I walked away. And the Lord said, "Do you well to be angry?" And Jonah went out of the city. What didn't he do? Yeah, he didn't answer. God asked, the living God asked a sinner a question and he didn't answer. That is a dead indicator that someone is not doing well spiritually when they duck and dive God. Finish the line, Mrs. Knott. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Incorrect, Mrs. Knott. Softly pleading with your heart. Now, how many people sing that, but then they'll leave church unaffected? Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading? And we think, okay, delay that. Off I go without responding. Lord, have dealings with me. Jonah's in that category today. He's in a dead mess. He could have said yes and then entered a dialogue about why he's angry, but he doesn't. He storms out. He puffs off. Yeah, well, exactly. He knows he's in the wrong and he runs. Lessons there for us, isn't it? Now, people don't like Jonah. He gets a bad rep. He's like Thomas in the Bible. He gets a bad rep, but Thomas is the only one really in that gospel that says, "My Lord and my God." And people never say that about Thomas. He's always doubting Thomas, isn't he? Instead of, "Oh no, he's the one that confessed the Lord." But anyway, Jonah, he can be like us. Pouting. We won't go somewhere if we don't like it. So we pout and we don't answer people and we don't chat to certain people if they've displeased us, and we just won't talk and communicate. And this wall comes down and he shuts off and he's pouting. And this is God asking him a question. And God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God does judge. But here, in his kindness. And then we read 10 and 11 because God yet still explains himself. To Jonah. This is remarkable stuff from the living God. Now, why does he do that? The answer is because he's concerned for Jonah. He's concerned and he's chasing him. If you're in a mess, it looks a bit like Jonah here. 2019, Christians can stop praying. 2018, I wonder how many Christians stopped praying quietly. Something bothered them about God. And, you know, sliding away from God is very rarely a dramatic thing. But this sort of quiet, slow rejection, as we're not as fond of him as we used to be. That's what Jonah's doing. He is in a mess and he is to blame. Someone said this, a backsliding state is a wretched state. Do not try it if you value your own peace. Now, if God is the God of peace and you leave God, where else is there to go if you leave peace than unrest? Chaos. Tozer said this, after a lifetime of observation, Bible reading and prayer, has led me to the conclusion that the only thing that can hinder a Christian's progress is the Christian himself. The true child of God can live and grow in circumstances that are wholly unfavorable to such life and growth. Someone said this, as Christians grow older, they can be like Chinese pork. They'll either become sweet or sour. Now, Jonah is at that crunch time, I think. I also think he comes through it because of the way Jesus speaks about him later. But the fact is, there are lots of people that start off with God and then drift away. Don't they? That's the lesson tonight. They become in a mess and they drift and some never return. How would you feel, ladies? Well, and men. But I think the ladies would get more annoyed. If I went home and I said this to Rita. Rita, I used to love you, but now I've calmed down a bit. Is it okay to say things like that to Rita? No, the women shake their head. Jimmy nods, Marcus nods. No, they don't. They didn't. All right, okay. Is that, though, okay to do it with God? Well, no. But we get more annoyed than if I did it with Rita than I do it with God. We've got to watch that. This is what Jonah's teaching us tonight. It's not okay to treat God like that. And Jonah's in a mess. Yeah, so in this instance it's dramatic. But I think my point was, the root of this here is that he finds God disagreeable and evil. Often in 2018, it's not a dramatic exit because of our cultural tendencies and Welsh personalities. If we find God disagreeable and evil, it will more likely take the effect of we will stop communicating back when he speaks to us. Okay? All right, Jimmy? Okay. But don't forget what Jesus said about Jonah. And what did Jesus say about Jonah? He said that Jonah was great. Which means none of us are above this happening to us if Jonah fell into this. Because he's great. Okay? It's a warning, really, tonight. I wonder, though, how we will react in 2019 when something really upsets us. You will be tempted to stop communicating to the living God. And so we're to guard against this.
Yes.
But many people get to this point, storm out in verse 5, and they don't come back. I don't know, the loss of loved ones, that's a big one, isn't it? Or someone we hate gets saved. And it embitters us sometimes, and we pout and assassinate them and revel when they make a mistake and all these other things that we are not above Jonah from falling into. He is failing here in this chunk of verses. His heart isn't in it at this moment. And we can be in meetings, and for some of us in church and across Wales, our heart hasn't been in it for years, and we've stopped responding to the word of God. We're like Jonah in this chunk of verses. And it starts in the heart. Well, let me put it like this. Think back to 2011 in November when I first came here. Count the people who were here who aren't here anymore. Some of them have died, but some of them have just said, no, thank you, God and church. Now we're thankful for those that have joined since then, and conversions along the way, and other people have moved for legitimate reasons, but some people, they may have had a burst of Christianity, but it was a flash in the pan and eventually they fizzled out. They're in that Jonah moment, and for some they will never have been the genuine article. People can fall away. See, this is why we emphasize here repentance needs to be a daily thing, not something once, but daily becoming more like Jesus. People can bumble on forever. And then maybe it's never the real thing. The parable of the sower. Jesus warns these things, doesn't he? These things can be snatched away. And it's crunch time for Jonah. So tonight's sermon, it's no small thing that we're here. And another chance to say, Lord, guard us from that. And when you test us, Lord, help us to respond in the right way and trust you. There was a program on BBC recently about all the things you're not allowed to do. It was like a feminist program, and it was about boys flirting with girls. And it went through all those things that are offensive now. And my friends were watching it like, you can't say anything to girls anymore without it being some sort of a lawsuit or something. Like all the things we would have done growing up. It's like, it's horrific now. But when a girl fancies a boy or a boy fancies a girl, something's got to happen. They've got to reach out and get to know them. And in my day, we wrote letters. And in Mrs. Knott's day, they wrote letters, did they, Mrs. Knott? And now they send little Snapchats, don't they? Hello, I'm the boy in the class, and you're the girl over there in science, and I think more about you than science when I'm in the room with you. You know, that sort of that lovely sort of romance stuff. Yes? No? Anyway, the point is you've got to reach out. It can't just stop at an awareness of each other's existence. You have to reach out and communicate. Yes? Okay, now, on Wednesday we were talking about how creation reveals the gospel of Jesus. Yes? But then people don't get it. So, we also then said, so Jesus does his evangelism now through the church. And the church preaching his word. Because God, in this romance affair with planet Earth, where he's winning people back to the affection of loving him, he has reached out. He sent us a letter. It's this letter, isn't it? It's not Snapchat. It's this. And the fact that we've got Jonah's story written here is God reaching out. just like he showed kindness and patience to Jonah. So here we are in January 2019 to learn from Jonah that it is a mess if we depart from the light. Where else can we go except darkness? This is to be treasured tonight, to warn yourself. Communicate with the living God. Be vigilant. I just wanted to prove tonight that Jonah is worse off when he's in a big mood with the living God. What on earth is Jonah doing? Not responding to God, going out of the city, sitting on the east of the city, and making a booth for himself there. What is he doing? Right. Lots of people think this in the commentaries. He's watching to see what unfolds. Why? Because God has already done the saving. What's he watching? What's he waiting for? Maybe to see if God's good for his word. Maybe to see, and maybe he secretly hopes, oh, they're going to go back to their old ways and I'm going to be there to see it. I knew it. Ninevites, classic.
Yeah,
like when our enemies get saved in 2019 and then they sin and we're like, ha ha, yes, I knew it. Yes, I love it when you fall. Yep, you angered me in 1949 and now you've fallen, I knew it. Yep, might be that. That's what some people think. Sadly, there's no answer in the text or anything like that, is there? Not really. So that's conjecture. The point is, according to the text, you don't know the reason for it. It is senseless. And that is what pouting does. That is what the wrong type of anger, when it's against God, leads us to. Senseless behavior. Because Jesus is the human and makes people truly human by removing the grip of sin on them. So you're more alive than ever. If you pout with him and reject him, you've got nowhere to go but really senseless behavior. And with Jonah, it's sort of facts and reason have gone out the window. He's just in an emotional, self-indulgent huff. Now, that's dead hard to penetrate, isn't it? And then, like Caleb said, no, someone else, he's in the heat. So he's there pouting in the Middle Eastern heat and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. It's senseless. The rejection of God is senseless. With no shelter, he's in a mess. It's irrational, isn't it? Now, you talk to someone, sometimes we can talk to people who aren't in church anymore or reject the holy life. They very rarely have good reasons or good logic. Those that have thought about it might give it a go, but most it's like this. It's like emotional ones, isn't it? And you say the truth of the Bible and they just combat it with emotional replies. It's like you can't get through this sense of injustice they might have about God. They're enraged over something. Or a passion for a certain sin is now the dominant factor driving all their decisions in life. It's like, it's almost mad, isn't it? You want something so badly, you rearrange your whole life and jack in Jesus because of it. Beware, that is Jonah here. So, here is God, though, as ever, seeking to bring Jonah to spiritual sense. I venture to say he longs for that still in Ogmore Vale in 2019, because God cares about people who are in a mess. In a state of broken relationship, he cares. God grieves the lost. He grieves them. He wants them. And when he gives people laws, it's because he loves them. He loves them. Some people in church, and this cannot be us in 2019, think, well, God sort of tied himself up in a deal with me now, and if he could do away with me because I'm such a failure and sinner, he would. You don't get that. You get a patient God who longs for the lost to know him. He doesn't regret saving his church. He doesn't just tolerate his church. He loves it. I didn't spare my son for the church. How much am I just going to give you all things that you need, says the living God. And we close with this. In the Lord Jesus Christ, who joined us in our blindness outside of the city walls. Where God was in the city, Jesus came outside and died there with them and for them in the darkness outside the city. Why? To remove our blindness. And this little stage that Jonah in, that we don't have to stay there. Here's a question. 75% of Americans are affected by something. Now remember, this is being recorded, so keep your racist answers to yourself. 75% of Americans are affected by something. What is it? Shall I tell you? Bad eyesight. When was I in Swansea Uni? 2007, I think. I had a friend and he was from Holland. And he spent his student loan on getting laser eye surgery. And then ate like pot noodles for 3 years because of it. But he had crusty eyes for a while, which is what happens when you have laser eye surgery. But then what happens is your eyes heal. And he always talked about being blown away by his ability to now see things clearly. But I used to stay up late with him. And we wouldn't talk about the beauty of the world so much. We had something else in common. And that was that we saw something beautiful in Jesus Christ. And I used to love his company. Because there's a guy from Holland and a guy from Wales that in the kindness of God, because of Jesus, our visual blindness spiritually had been solved. And we saw that it is a mess to depart from Jesus. But the only reason any of us see anything in Jesus at all is because he went outside of where God was and hung in darkness on that tree. John Flavel said, God did not choose us because we were high, so he will not forsake us when we are low. It is mercy that we have a Father who talks even today. I venture to say that it is evident by us being here tonight that the living God has not forgotten us, has not forsaken us, still has his face towards us, still calls us to come to know his wonderful Son and avoid this pitfall that Jonah fell into. For his name's sake, Amen.